So as a church, we've set a clear vision for 2026. Jesus first, truth always. And it's not merely a slogan as much as it's a commitment. We don't want it just to be something that rolls off our tongue, but it needs to be something that really impacts our hearts. And linked to that are two important words. I mentioned them last week, and I'm sure we'll mention them a few more times. Truth and discipleship are what we want to press into this year. Over the next couple of weeks, I want to be looking at the topic of truth and what that means, how it plays out, and what are some of the truths that we need to be pressing into. I'm sure a lot of you know the feeling of being told something and believing that it's true, and at some point realizing that it's a lie or it's false. That feeling of being let down, being lied to, that's not a great feeling. And that's the problem with some of what we find ourselves with in this world, is that we often are told what we believe is truth, only at some point to find that it's actually not. And we have that feeling. Lies damage trust. Lies cause us to not want to be with some people. It's interesting when you speak to kids about the Ten Commandments, normally they always give you the first one is do not lie. We know this. We're brought up on this. But still we live in a world where it's difficult to distinguish truth and mistruth. We're surrounded by a whole lot of stuff. We have misinformation and deliberate disinformation. We've got manipulation through advertising, politics, and social media. You know, I really think it's about time that I played that Mahjong game for over 50s. I'm nearly sold. We've got logarithms that feed us only what reinforces our views. The moment you search, is the Bible reliable? You can go in one of two different ways very easily. Fake reviews, edited images, deepfake, and IA-generated content are everywhere. I am real this morning, but online, I never quite know. There's confusion about health, identity, success, and meaning. Can we honestly say that we fully understand what happened during COVID? We still have questions. We're still not 100% sure. Every day, we have to be asking the question, and sometimes it's subconscious, is this true or am I being misled? Now, you get to be part of a great moment in this service, because now I'm going to test you. Woo-hoo. Okay, so I follow some people on social media, and there's a lady that does a little clip. Is this true? Is this AI or not? And so I've got one of her clips keyed up, and we're going to watch it. She's going to show three videos. She'll tell you all about this, but I'm trying to help you to get in the zone. And we're not going to stop and have a vote, but be honest, as this lady shares with us. So let's watch the screen.
Hi, my name is Katarina, and this is...
Is this AI or not?
The series where I show you three pieces of content and you have to let me know, is this AI or not? Sounds simple, so let's start the game. Is this AI or not? The answer? That video was AI generated. Those children don't exist. Those toys don't exist. Everything there is fake. And I made that video using VO3 and this prompt. So let's go to the second video. Is this AI or not? The answer? That video is real. I found that video in Pixabay under the account Penguin Artyart. I probably said that wrong, so apologies for that. So let's go to the third and last video. Is this AI or not?
Welcome to the evening news. Tonight we have breaking development. Sorry, let's start again.
The answer? That video was AI generated. That woman doesn't exist. That news broadcast doesn't exist. Everything there is fake. So how many did you get right, and which ones got you confused? If you want to learn how you could have noticed that those two videos were AI generated, just have a look at my pinned comment below. As I always say, in 2025, artificial intelligence is everywhere, and that's why it's so important for you to be able to spot what is real and what is not, so you're not falling into traps, scams, and fake news. And if you want help with that, just follow me for more. My name is Katarina Doria. I'm an AI ethicist, and I teach people just like you to learn more about artificial intelligence and how to stay protected. I'll see you in the next video. And until then, please, everyone, don't believe in everything you see, okay? Bye-bye, everyone.
Was she fake or real? Is the big question. I think she's real. But as you can see, was anybody like, did anybody get it wrong on those three little video clips? Yeah. It's difficult. I really was sure that that little cute little ducky thing was AI. I don't know. There was no shadow. The hair looked fake. I mean, anyway. But we're confronted with stuff every single day in our lives, every single moment. I mean, I do believe that I'm related to that guy in Nigeria who left me his money. I'm quite sure that's me. Come on. At some point, it must be me. I get so many of those. Anybody else got one of those? Yeah. Oh, come on. Well, that cuts my chances down. Three questions this morning. What is truth? Why does truth matter? And how do we live in truth? In a world that's really confusing and really difficult to understand, know that Jesus was very clear. In John 8, 31 and 32, he said, "If you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Here, Jesus is making a clear connection between discipleship and truth, and also helping us to understand that we can know what truth is. It's not optional for a Christian. Truth is essential. Later, he prays for his followers, and he says in John 17, 17, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." At some point, I'm going to tell you this morning, you need to read God's word to know the truth. Not right now. It's not just something that we believe truth. It's something that forms us. It's something that shapes us. And then it's something that sets us apart. The number of false people is huge. And we don't want to be those people. We need to be people of truth. Deception's not something new. You might think that our social media and AI is like it's just started to happen. But I can tell you without a shadow of doubt that deception has been with us from the very beginning of time. There was this very deceptive moment in the Garden of Eden. The serpent says, "Did God really say?" From the very beginning, he's trying to undermine the truth that God said. He doesn't flat out say deceive God, but he puts doubt, and doubt leads to the fall. And we've seen a similar pattern throughout history where somebody just needs to get the key and just turn it one half click, pink tag in the box above the sound desk. Top left. Bingo. I know which key works the door. So over the course of 2,000 plus years, we've had this attack on truth and the church. We know the serpent started this thing, and all through the ages we've had deception. But for us, there's been this problem where a lot of the mistruth comes from within the church. I mean, right away, if I say that to you, you can remember some of the crazy things that some pastors have done. It's easy. Doom in a face. You might have seen that video. But then there's also other things. There's the distortion of the gospel that's happened for a long time. There's the abuse of power, hypocrisy, politicization of faith, trying to make faith political, relativism. What's true for you might not be true for me, and what's true for me might not be true for you. Is there an ultimate truth? persecution, consumerism, and comfort in every generation. The church is healthiest when we go back to God's truth. We go back to His teaching, we go back to His character, we go back to His cross, His resurrection, and His word. That's when the church is at its best. And that's what I'd encourage you this morning. That's where we need to be going. The question is never, what suits me? The question should be rather, is this true? Or what is true? So does truth matter? Well, certainly it does. And nobody here would deny that truth is important. But why is it so important? Well, first of all, God is the source of truth. Remember, Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. I'm the way and the truth and the life. Truth is not merely information. Truth is God Himself. It's who God is. Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, every word of God is flawless. He's a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Truth actually protects. We think truth is most probably trying to lead us away from all the fun, but it protects us. It guards our hearts. It helps us make the right decisions, go in the right direction. The other thing that's important about truth leads to freedom. Remember when Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. True freedom is found in Jesus Christ. True freedom frees us from things like deception, sin, spiritual confusion. When we know the truth, we don't fall into those traps as easily. With truth, faith becomes grounded, it becomes solid. It's liberating and it's life-giving. Truth also shapes how we live. Many people, even if they're not Christians or they don't follow the teachings of Christ, they will hold on to the moral standards of what the word brings. People know, don't kill, don't steal. Where does that come from? Not in a void somewhere. That's been around since the Ten Commandments, and still Christ is saying the same things. But Christian ethics depends on honesty, integrity, justice, faithfulness. I often pray that for our leaders, that we would have leaders of integrity and honesty. It's critical. Lies damage relationships, they damage families, they damage churches, and they damage society. Truthfulness builds trust. When people are true, we're able to follow them more easily, able to be with them more easily. Truth also guards against harm. Throughout history, if you think about the lies that people have fallen for, it's led to damage. It's led to people falling away, people getting hurt. But truth doesn't do this. Truth is to walk honestly before God without pretending or performing or hiding. Truth guards against harm. Truth is also a relationship. Truth is ultimately about a relationship with Christ. If He is the way, the truth, and the life, and we walk closely with Him, then we will be people of truth. And finally, truth grounds our hope. The hope that we have in Christ is based on the truth of what Christ said. In Corinthians, Paul tells us, if only this for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. If we only think that Christ has got something to give us now, we are people to be pitied. The hope that we have is a hope not just in now, but also in what is to come, in eternal life, in life with Christ after death. Truth gives us confidence that our hope is not wishful thinking, but it's grounded in reality, in truth. A question that people would ask then, is there only one truth? I remember back in the day in the 80s, there was this thing, well, all roads lead to heaven. Maybe some people are old enough to remember that. The big question that everybody is faced with is, what happens when I die? Different faiths will tell you different things. Hinduism will tell you that there's a reincarnation. Christianity will tell us that there is either life with God or life without God when we pass away. Spiritism or spiritualists will tell us that we exist as spirits when we die. And atheism will tell us that we simply cease to exist. One of those has to be true. They can't all coexist. We would like it to be as easy as all roads lead to heaven. But unfortunately, all of those beliefs pull us in different places. What we believe does not change what is real. We don't create our own truth. There needs to be a truth that is real. And truth exists whether we accept it or not. There's this moment when Pilate is speaking to Jesus. And Jesus says to Pilate in John 18:37, "For this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth." And then Pilate asks this incredibly haunting question: what is truth? What is truth? And then he walks away, having met with truth face to face. Not understanding. And unfortunately, that question still echoes today. What is truth? So how do we live in the truth? How do we live as people of faith and as people of truth? We've used the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed and the Westminster Confession. All of these things help us. They're not God's word, but they help us to understand the structure of our belief system. And the same is true for what we read in Philippians 4 verse 8. We're told, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." We're called to have a belief system based on all of these things. And then we're called back to God's word. I said I was going to tell you it's important to be in God's word, and this is why. Because that is ultimately the truth that we rest on. We learn truth by knowing God deeply through his word. So why does truth matter? Truth is not an idea that we debate, but it's really a person we follow. Jesus didn't say, "I teach you the truth," but he did say, "I am the truth." In a confusing world, the calling of the church is not to panic or to retreat or to blend in. The truth is to remain in Christ. That's what we're called to do. And Jesus says, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. And so his word, again, is so important. Truth matters because it shapes how we live, how we love, and how we face even death itself. Truth matters because without it, what we believe simply becomes an opinion. But with it, faith becomes freedom. So as we step into truth, and we're going to speak about Christian truths in the next couple of weeks, I'm really praying that we will be people who know God more deeply, that we would be people who immerse ourselves in God's word, that we would be people who test everything against what Christ has said, and that we would be people who live honestly, humbly, and faithfully. Remember, Jesus first, truth always.